Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Expert to Authority show. My name is Simone Vincenzi, and I'm your host. And this is a show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in their world. And today, we're really talking about success and what does it take to achieve the things that you want to achieve. No, I've got goals that I want to achieve. You've got goals that you want to achieve. Sometimes it feels like we have everything. We got the training, we got the resources, it looks like maybe we got the mindset, we have done a lot of work on it, and still we can't get us to do the things that we know they're really important to do, or there is something that is blocking us. And this is why I've invited my good friend Kat Williams to talk about this particular topic. She's a TEDx and inspirational speaker, author, and clinical hypnotherapist, and the founder and director of Building Your Confidence Limited. She empowers individuals within high-pressure environments like us, it could be professional entrepreneurs like us, by uncovering the root cause of subconscious issues such as anxiety, perfectionism, imposter syndrome, or fear of public speaking, and setting them free. She's known for her break the invisible cage methodology, which she shares via webinars, talks, and a one-to-one transformational session. So, Kat, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's fabulous to be here.
All right, it's fantastic to have you here, Kat. So the first question that I want to ask you is, as I framed in the introduction of the show, you know, sometimes we think we got almost everything ready. We got our goals, we got our dreams, we got maybe some training on achieving the goals that we want to achieve, maybe got some support as well, but somehow there is something that is stopping us. In your work, what have you found is the biggest thing, or some of the biggest things that actually stop people from getting what they really want?
Yes, that's a great question. And I've had a long time in the industry, since being a physiotherapy, first of all, and a counsellor, kind of trying to ask that question, you know, what really makes the difference for people to achieve what they really want to achieve. And what I've found is, now that I know more about the subconscious mind through being a hypnotherapist, more about the neuroscience, is that we're actually running on very, very old programming. So that's really what people don't really realize, is quite how deep rooted the issues are. And if you don't get to the root cause, you can do all of the kind of things you've mentioned there, trying to logic these things away and stretch these things away, but they're actually rooted in something that subconsciously you haven't accessed. That's what I find.
And tell me a bit more about that. Expand on this, please.
So do you mean in terms of what I mean by subconscious?
Yeah. Just like, where's what's the programming that you're talking about? It's like someone coming and programming our mind. Is that...
Yes, in a way. Well, what I explain to people is, we actually have around 70,000 thoughts a day, but 95% of them are running on autopilot. We're not consciously aware of the vast majority of them. We're like an iceberg, you know, most of those thoughts are unconscious or subconscious. And actually 90% of those subconscious thoughts are the same thoughts since we're about 7 years old, because we absorb everything from our environment up to the age of seven, and then we've made conclusions about ourselves and the world and beliefs, and they then run in the background like this programming that then years down the line we won't realize how much is still being run from way, way, way back, that no matter what logically we do, or, you know, books we read and stuff that we strive, like you say, we've tried everything, and then it's like, why am I still in this pattern? Where is this actually coming from? So that's what the vast majority of my clients come to me saying, that I've tried everything, Kat. I haven't tried this. You're like, can you help me?
Yeah, I'm curious. Why does the brain keep stuck there? That's actually a question that I never had an answer to, because, you know, it looks like you mentioned until the age of what age?
Seven. Yeah.
Until the age of seven. So what happens to the brain that says, no, this is it? Nothing more.
Well, it's, as they say, when we're talking about things, it's not what happens to us, it's what happens within us. And what happens within us is to do with our nervous system, obviously. And our nervous system and our subconscious mind have only got one job. And this is what I explain to people. And the job of our kind of nervous system and our subconscious is not to make us successful. It's not to make us happy. It's not to give us amazing relationships or success. Its only job is to keep us alive and keep us safe. So the root cause of everything that I help people with, it literally goes, you wouldn't consciously think like this can be life-saving, procrastination, that's ridiculous, it can't be life-saving. The root cause of it, because it was so young, it's something called kind of learned helplessness. If we ever felt not safe in any way, even for quite a short amount of time, or not loved, or not important, or like not, tuned into, at the ages that we're talking about, we didn't know how long that would last, and we didn't know how that would end. So it can feel life-threatening. When you're three, I had a man last week, went right back to being his first day of nursery, and even though he's now in his 40s, one of the earliest scenes was like, I'm 3 years old, I'm at nursery, and I don't know if my mum's ever coming back. And that was his belief as a 3-year-old, because he was confused, he felt very helpless, and that was one of the root cause issues of like, maybe I'm on my own here and I haven't got what it takes.
Wow. So
I know.
is not that, no, I can understand that if someone has like a big, a deep traumatic experience. And but what you're saying is that it doesn't have to be.
No, because it felt traumatic, even if it was a split second. And a lot of my clients will say, God, this will sound ridiculous. They're under hypnosis. And I say, whatever's come up is always relevant. Go with that gut feeling. What is it? Even though, oh, this is random. It's never random. And they'll say, but it was fine. It was fine a split second later. I don't know what this is about. But in the moment when they were little, their nervous system registered, I never want you to feel like this again. So I'm going to log it. And once it's logged, it doesn't get unlocked until you come and kind of process that years later and say, okay, now I can release it. Well, I couldn't release at the time, I can release now. Yeah.
So there are good news. Can this
Yeah.
be changed,
Yeah.
or is it something that in that's the real question, is that can this be changed, or is something that we actually learned how to coexist with and just tone it down, or can we eradicate it completely? What's your
Yes, we
take on
can.
it?
Yes, you can eradicate it completely, because if I the nitty-gritty of how I do that is that I always say to people, we come onto this planet like brand new with 10 out of 10 natural confidence and natural sort of we're full of love, we're full of light, we've got everything we need within us. We're the survivors of thousands of generations. So what I do first of all in a session is tune into when life, like without the issue, there will be moments there of like, I did feel 10 out of 10 amazing. I'm really proud of doing that. I had what it takes. That is our natural programming. So that's what I tune into first. And then we tune into these moments that made you feel it's three things that lie at the root: not good enough, different, or rejected, or that what we want is not available to us. These are these three root cause beliefs. And if they've come in from somewhere, if they're not there at the beginning, if they can come in, then they can also leave. If you've picked it up, you can put it down, right? So I like set people free from those beliefs, because that's how I can explain a little bit more about that. But we actually find, I always say it's called the protector box. So I would never say, people will come to me and say, it's my anxiety, or I've always been a perfectionist, or, and I said, no, it's the anxiety. It's the perfectionism. It's the procrastination. It believes it's there for a fundamental reason, and it's trying to keep you safe. But once it realizes how out of date it is, they feel relief immediately in 1 2-hour session. It will choose to leave once it realizes, gosh, you're not 7 anymore, are you? Or you're not 12, or you're not 3. It just goes, yeah, I'm getting in your way. I don't want to be here anymore.
Okay, so you're basically separating that from the identity of the
Absolutely.
person. Because when I say my, like this is my anxiety or I'm anxious, that's like a sense of identity that you
Exactly.
have. And so what you're saying is that you're also creating that separation.
Absolutely, yes. I will say, I've always been a people pleaser. No, you haven't. You were not born a people pleaser. Let's find out where that came
You've
from.
not always been. It might be for
Exactly.
maybe
Well
be
deserved.
crazy for a long time, but not
Yeah, unless
always.
I've always been shy. I've never been able to speak up for myself. That's not true. And my job, first of all, is to find out the times you have spoken up to yourself or for yourself. Because again, I'll say we make our decisions based on just two things: love and fear. And if we care enough about something, the issue probably isn't there. You're not procrastinating when you absolutely love it. You're not a perfectionist when you just go for it. You're not a people pleaser when you really, really want to do something for yourself. So when you're really passionate with that natural kind of love and energy, it isn't there. So we tune into that, and then we find out, okay, when it is there, what's it really protecting you from? And it's always feeling not good enough, rejected, ashamed, guilty, these kind of things that used to be relevant in your childhood before you understood what was actually going on, that are not relevant now. And that's that out of dateness that people go, oh, I didn't realize how old this was, and that I'm not that child anymore.
Can we change those things ourselves? Because, some people say, no, but I've tried self-hypnosis, or I might have tried, I've read books, or I've hired a coach, or not even hired a coach, but it's mainly like I've did work on myself. Are these kind of things that actually can we do just by ourselves, or do we need someone else?
I believe you can chip away at it yourself. It's actually an amazing, but you can't. I don't think you can get as effectiveness as if you do it with somebody that is doing this all the time, like I am. So, and it could take a lifetime of chipping away with, I've read this book and I've done this course and I've done that work, and so yeah, people chip away at it a long time. But people come to me in their 70s and say, I finally want to understand what this is. And they've chipped away at this for a long time. And they still feel that they're, worthy. Even in their 70s, they come and they go, I'm really glad I've done this, Kat. I'm really glad I finally got to the root of this. So I think if they choose to come at that point, then it can tell you how long it can take if you do it yourself.
Right. And imagine if you came like in your 30s, now you've got another 40 years of living a life that you want.
Yes, and I get teenagers and children coming to because they come in so early, let's get rid of them as early as possible, right? So I really admire when as young as possible people come, but they do choose to come later, obviously.
And what kind of process do you use, and how long does it take? Because I think sometimes there are many different therapies, there are many different methodologies, and every form of call it therapies, call it methodologies, call it counseling, hypnotherapy. I think that sometimes people, or I didn't know when to use what, and also what can I expect out of it. Because I think some people, they just put everything under one big umbrella sometimes, if they are not new ones like you, that you understand the different typology. So expand on that, please.
Yes, well, I think the easiest way to do that is to explain my break process. Would that be all right? The 5 steps? Because you're right, I've
Absolutely.
brought together 25 years of experience into a certain way of doing things. And if it resonates with people, then I'm right for them. But if it doesn't, you're absolutely right. There's other things. So the B stands for becoming aware of the issue. So I'll always say, if I could wave a magic wand and you could be free from the thing that is you think is blocking, you've got to first of all be aware of going like, this is really starting to annoy me, Kat. Like, it's driving me, I don't want this anymore. So that's the first thing. And what would that thing be? And they do need to be able to kind of, describe that. But they will name that, like I say, perfectionism, anxiety, depression, people pleasing, self-sabotaging. Like, there can be a lot of fear of success, is what I do want to say to listeners, because success is kind of, we're more powerful than we can possibly imagine. But that can almost be frightening of like, what if I'm going to be judged? Like, what if my family say, right, who do you think you are, achieving all this success? So you have this fear of that, interestingly. The R stands for recognize what's really going on. So that is about the root cause, and that's what I do for people in the 2 hour session. You will get to the root cause of what that is. The E stands for explore your true self. So I bring in something called strength psychology, because something I can maybe say a little bit more about. The vast majority of my clients that come to me have natural certain strengths and energizers that are usually very relational skills, like empathy and compassion. Because in my opinion, the people most likely to burn out or the most likely people to care, almost too much, are the ones that then feel like I'm never enough. I can never do enough because I'm so caring. It feels like there's always more to do, if that makes sense. And then the A of the break stands for like, what does it stand for? Aim for what you really attract, what you really want. That's what it is. So I work with a transformational recording that you listen to for at least 21 days, because the mind learns by repetition and we form new habits over 21 days. So to attract what you really want, you have to have a self-hypnosis download that you listen to day after day after day. And then the K stands for keep going. So people will then come back to me for the follow-up and we'll look at how do I keep this process going along. Now that I've kind of broken that invisible cage, as I put it, how do we keep going then, the step by step by step?
Okay, so yeah, it's a combination. It's not just one thing. It's not just getting rid of it. getting rid of what is it you don't want, what is stopping you, but is
Yes.
also replacing it
Absolutely.
with what is it you want actually to have instead.
Yes, and that is very important because I can only give people what they want. You know, I do have, that's why, you know, it's if people can't sort of even, my job is really to look past the problem. So just for the listeners, I was a regular kind of counsellor for many, many years, and I felt that that was a lot of time looking at the problem and understanding the problem, and then the problem's still there because you've understood what it is, but it hasn't gone anywhere. My job very much now is looking past the problem. What do you actually want to get to? And also, I always describe my job is to do myself out of a job as fast as possible. And the vast majority of my clients come to me for the 2 hour session. They have the 21 day recording, the 1 hour follow up. 90%, that's all they need because they don't need me. They just need me to get to the root cause of the issue and break them out of it. And then everything else that they're doing can really help them to then race off into their
For the
life.
skepticals here that are watching or listening, they might be thinking, wow, that's all it take? Couple hour session, listening to a recording, and that's it? Something that has stopped me for maybe 30, 40 years of my life, 50 years of my life, 60 years of my life, that's it? One, what would you say to that? And two, do you have some examples that could sound a bit extreme, but you were able to, not extreme, but you just like would sound very difficult from the outside to say, okay, how did you do that? How did you make that?
Yeah, I can give a really good example in a minute of a lady called Steph. And what I would say to the first question is, don't sort of believe me, believe the testimonials on Building Your Confidence Limited on Google. And I'm starting to gather more video testimonials, which, as you can imagine, is tricky as a therapist. Not everybody wants to admit they've even been to therapy. So just recently, a lovely girl called Cassie the other day has recorded me a video testimonial saying exactly that. And she came for 3 hours and it's life changing. So I would believe them. You don't have to believe me. But
Anything
if I
to
give a quick story
example?
there,
Yeah, in
yes.
terms of example.
So this is an example. I work with many different types of professionals in high pressure environments, but I do love to work with teachers because I think the knock-on effect of setting a teacher free to release their confidence just really matters to me. So Steph, highly qualified teacher, on the surface doing really well, but had just come out of a school where the head of department had really been very, very toxic. And she came to me saying, I think I'm done with teaching. I don't want to be. I love my job. But even though I'm in a new school, every email from the head teacher, every parent that gets in touch, I'm triggered and I'm having panic attacks at the weekends. I'm not going out with my friends. I'm just crippled by this stuff that's been churned up. And she said, I don't think it's just to do with this past teacher. I think there's something more going on. So she came and we got to the root cause of that. I can't remember exactly the scenes and I wouldn't share sort of too much of her personal information, but it was in her family dynamic as a child. I think her father left home when she was little. It was in bullying experiences and it was in experiences with her older brother who was incredibly so abusive. So when we went to the part of that was protecting Steph, she described it as like this sort of massive, heavy, nasty weight that I think was in her stomach, rose up into her chest, that gave her palpitations and panic attacks. And the thing I just want to share as well with the listeners is that this protecting part, it always believes it's got these three sort of jobs beginning with P. So the first is to protect. So panic attacks and anxiety were saying, I'm trying to warn you, Steph, like I'm going to warn you that something could happen, right? The prioritizing part was kind of like, let's just stay in at the weekends. It's not worth it. You know, maybe just stay safe, but stay stuck. And the third P stands for punishing. So because she'd picked up as a young child, maybe I'm not worth my parents meeting my needs. Maybe I'm not worth respect from my older brother. Maybe this is all I deserve. Maybe I'm a bad person. There was a punishing element of these nasty inner critical voices I think a lot of people might resonate with. You have this internal critic that was kind of saying, Steph, you've been found out. You know, finally, you've actually been found out that you are not good enough and you aren't very great. But again, that horrible voice. So when we got to this point, like, how little were you when this started? And she realizes where these scenes came up that she couldn't have accessed consciously. And she went, oh my goodness me, it started when I'm 4. And how old does it still think you are, Steph, this protecting part? It still really thinks I'm 4. So the head of department that had triggered this was not the issue. The issue was that she'd pressed that button of the original belief that had been there since she was 4. Does that make sense?
Yeah, then that's how things can come up.
Yes. And
So,
now the good story at the end is she's still a teacher. She's speaking at national conferences because she is so good at what she does, and I can tell you why she's so good. But she was free. She's left me an amazing testimonial, and the follow-up session, it was already done. That was it. Session.
and that was it.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you find that people struggle with the most? Like if you have to find some common patterns, and you can give maybe like another couple of stories of things that you've worked on with people, like you did with Steph. Because I think sometimes the reason why I'm asking this question, and I know I'm a bit long-winded right now, but the reason why I'm asking this question is because sometimes people don't even know that there is something going on. So they can only see the symptom. And they're not aware that that symptom belongs to something different. The root cause is somewhere else. And so the real question here is that what kind of symptoms do people feel the most or experience the most before calling you? Right? Because then if they know, then they can see, oh, this is what might be going on.
Well, I'd almost say any physical symptom, because our emotions are created by thoughts, and most of our thoughts are fear-based. So 95% of these subconscious thoughts, most of them are negative. We have a very strong negativity bias. So if you are feeling repeated kind of, I wouldn't say negative emotions, because emotions are just chemical reaction, everything's energy. But if there's you don't want to feel as you're feeling, and you're not happy. And that has gone on for it's not to do with a short term thing. It's like a kind of a repeating feeling that is going over on and on and on and on. Then that would be a message to say, this isn't going anywhere, because you've trying lots of different things and it's still there. That's what people always sort of say to me. It's still there no matter what I try. Or it's even getting worse, because things like relationship patterns. Why do I keep choosing the same sort of friends that are not even great to me? Why do I choose the same kind of partner? Like, what? I know it's me, but I don't really understand why I'm causing the same thing. The one common denominator, is us. And you have to turn around one go and go, the common factor is me. So let's
Yeah,
understand
so
it.
it's less about the specific symptom. That's what I mean you're saying, or specific symptoms. It's like whatever comes that is recurring that stops you from achieving something that you want to achieve or experiencing something you want to experience. And now that thing is coming back over and over again with always the same intensity, different degrees of intensity, it changes.
It could definitely change, yes, but it sort of keeps feeling the same. People come to me with physical symptoms, as I haven't shared yet. Well, I have briefly. I was originally a physiotherapist, so that was about, but the body is our greatest communication tool. So people might say, I've actually got irritable bowel syndrome, but it's actually rooted in a stress response, because I hold my stress and my fear in my stomach. And actually, the root cause of that could go way back to childhood and teenage issues, but it's developed over time into irritable bowel syndrome, or chronic pain, things like that. The body is trying to communicate. It's carried something for such a long time, but it now presents as a physical issue when actually it's a trauma or emotional issue originally.
Do you have any example of this, of physical people that you work with that had like certain physical issue that because of the work that you did, if you can pinpoint also what was the reason why without making any names, I'm
Yeah.
curious to hear a couple, maybe a story or two on this.
Shall I tell you one of my most sort of weird and wonderful ones from the beginning?
Let's
I don't know
go.
if you've heard of, let me write, try and remember the I'm not going to remember the name of the issue. Hopefully it'll come back to me in a minute, but it's basically a heightened sensitivity to things like chewing and breathing. Let me think what that's, hopefully the listeners will know what I'm talking about. So it's a certain thing where you really can't stand these kind of chewing noises and breathing noises.
I
Think of
don't
the
know.
name
I don't
for
know the
me.
exact name. You can keep going with it. Sorry, I'll look it up on Google on the.
It'll come to me. So it was one of my earliest cases, and I thought, gosh, what could this possibly be? And she tried everything. And it was driving her crazy because she couldn't sit on the sofa at night and watch the TV with her partner. I was like, why are you breathing so heavily? It's like, I'm not, I'm just breathing. It was driving her nuts.
Is that called misophonia?
There you go, misophonia. Thank you so
Misophonia or
much.
something like
Thank you
that.
so
Okay.
much.
All
Because
right.
it's rare that I would get something like this, but I've had a couple of cases of misophonia. Now, the root cause of that, because again, what I'd like to say to people is most of my clients, the only question I ask at the end is like, did anything surprise you? So at the end of this session, that I was like, could you possibly have guessed that that was the root cause of misophonia? She was like, not in a million years. And what it turned out to be, she'd been a very skinny child and she was sort of 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. Again, there was separation of family members, I think. So she was sort of always moved from dad's house to mum's house and different relatives. And they always made a point of commenting, oh, you're so skinny, you know, why don't you eat more? And oh, you're so pale and all the rest of it. And what she realized was at the age of 11, when we spoke to this again, we connect, it was very somatic. So we sort of scanned the body and said, I'm this part of, let's call her Jane, you know, that came up with this misophonia. How long has it been there? And this part kind of said, I came in when you were 11. And she accessed it and like, what's your role? As I've already said, it's always to protect, to priorities, to prioritize or to, and to punish, and usually all three. And it basically kind of went, well, I gave the people that were annoying you something else to talk about. So that when you were at the table and they were going, why aren't you eating this? No, you're so pale and why don't you eat more? There, it like tuned in, as it tuned out all of that work and it tuned in. Oh, I can't stand chewing noises. Oh, I can't stand the scrape of cutlery on the plate. Oh, I can't stand breathing. So then they talked about that instead of what she physically looked like. Isn't that fascinating? And then from the age of 11, they go, oh, you can't stand when people chew, can you? Oh, you can't stand the heavy breathing. Oh, this is going to drive you crazy. And of course, her body kind of relaxed and went, thank goodness they're talking about something else. So then it stayed there as a protecting strategy from the age of 11. But of course, she came to me in her 40s and went, this is driving me crazy, Kat. What the hell is this? And it's like, that's what it is. And she went, that makes sense. I never would have put that together, not in a million years. And that's what it was.
And is that through hypnosis that you get to those points
Yes.
together? Because you talk about someone remembering their first day at nursery. Now, I don't remember my first day at nursery
No, but you wouldn't the
consciously,
hypnosis.
right? So is that through hypnosis that you get to that point?
Yes. And what I always want to say on that, if you'd said to me 10 years ago, I was a hypnotherapist, I was like, well, that hypnosis thing, that's a bit weird and wonderful. What I know now, it's a normal state of mind. We're actually under hypnosis most of the day because we're on autopilot. If you're driving a familiar route, making a cup of tea, brushing your teeth, you're actually in an an autonomic sort of automatic system. So all it really means is I ask people to do as little as possible. I guide them down some steps as if they're in a relaxed place. And it's like they're in their dreaming, daydreaming mind. That's pretty much all it means. It's just a state of accessing that subconscious. And I also like to say as well, our subconscious mind is like a Google search engine. It actually stores and can access everything. I just put you in a state of mind where you're receptive to say, I'm going to go and understand what this is all about. So
Oh,
you're
this is so powerful. Now, for people that are listening to this and are fascinated by this idea, and actually see, I don't need to keep struggling. Like, I can put an end to this in a fairly quick way. In a fairly quick and painless way.
No one ever regrets it. It is painful.
Right.
It's enjoyable, actually. Like
What's their next
being
step? What's their
rewarding.
next step for them? How can people get in touch with you? What do you have for people? Let's go through this.
Yes, they can find me via buildingyourconfidence.com. Or they can find me on LinkedIn, Kat Williams, or I am Kat with Confidence on Instagram. So that would be the easiest way to kind of find me on socials and things. And it always begins, I send a little, they will have hopefully heard this podcast, but I send a little video to describe what I do. I send the information, and then we always have a no obligation call for about 20 minutes or so, just to check in any questions they've got to ask me and to see whether we feel a good fit. And that's how it begins.
All right. So building your confidence, that buildingyourconfidence.com.
.com, that's right.
Buildingyourconfidence.com. The link is in the show notes. Also, Kat's social media links are in the show notes. You can connect with her. And my recommendation is to get in touch. If you have something that is stopping you, that you have maybe struggled for a while that is coming, keeps coming back, whether it's a form of a physical issue or on an emotional issue, then this is your call. You're listening to this episode for a reason. So continue that conversation and get in touch with Kat. Any final words of wisdom, any final concept that you would like to explain before we wrap up?
She put me on the spot there. Nothing's coming to mind. I'm feeling like a blank at the end of the day. So I don't know. What you got a final question for me that I haven't
No, it's like a final
hit
message. It's
before?
my final message that you want to leave people with.
I would like to tell people actually about my TEDx talk. So one way they can find out a little bit more. I like to think of the mind like a stallion. So I think I want to leave on an upbeat message of hope. So your stallion mind has just got this job to keep you safe. But what I want to say to people is you are the horse rider. And once you understand this kind of powerful stallion-like mind that has just got this one job, I'm just going to stay in the stable because it's safe. It's kind of no, you've got amazing potential. And if you do learn to be your own horse rider, which metaphorically is what I help people to do, it's like you are out of that stable. You are cantering and galloping across the field. And we have got the most incredible mind once you know how to lead it. So my TEDx is called Your Mind is a Stallion. Learn to ride it. And it gives you five ways, all beginning with L, to be the rider of your own mind. So I would like
All
to leave you
right.
with
I'm
that.
definitely going to check it out. Thank you, Kat. I'll put also the link of the TEDx talk is in the show notes. All you need to do is to scroll and watch the TEDx talk. Make sure you get in touch with Kat because you don't need to keep struggling. That's basically my final message. You don't need to keep struggling. There are ways in which you can change, in which you can achieve what you want. And it doesn't have to take a long time or years of therapy. It can be done in less than a month, in a session or in a session plus the process that Kat explained. So Kat, thank you again for being an incredible guest here on the show.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Thank you for watching and listening. Make sure that you subscribe if you haven't subscribed. And also leave us a good 5-star review. We love those. They're great for the show. They're great for the grass. They're great for my ego. So great for everyone involved. Until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially. Ciao. Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.